God is not really into politics. God is into government. There's a big difference. And so I want to talk, first of all, today about Lucifer for a moment. Lucifer was divinely appointed as one of the three archangels in heaven. He was privileged to have the responsibility to cover and protect the throne of God. His name meant Son of the Morning, Day Star, or Shining One. His body was draped with magnificent white ethereal light. He emanated the glory of God. God dressed him like a regal prince. He adorned him with all kinds of precious gold, the Bible says, and exotic jewels. In fact, the Bible distinguishes in Ezekiel 28 that there were 9 distinct gemstones within the body of Lucifer. They possibly, it doesn't really say where, but they possibly covered his chest, just like the ones, the gemstones that God purposely placed into the high priest ephod that had 12 stones. So perhaps Lucifer's were here as well. Little did Lucifer know that those stones would be a prophetic revelation of his destiny. He had no idea what the Lord had done. They were intricately embedded into his body. Also within his body, the Bible teaches us, were timbrels and pipes. So he was literally a walking instrument. And he was responsible for the praise and the worship of all of heaven. He possessed an extraordinary talent. He was distinct and different from all other angels. Probably the highest of the archangels. He was distinct. He was special. And he knew it. He knew it. He had access, the Bible says, to privileged places. The Bible says that he was able to go into the Garden of Eden. He could go onto the holy mountain of God. He could walk amongst God's fiery stones. Let me read it. Ezekiel 28, 13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were on the holy mountain of God. And you walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. So he had special privileges and got to go into areas that other angels must not have been able to go into because it doesn't ever mention it with other angels. He experienced a fellowship and a rhythm with the triune Godhead. He had power. He had authority. He had influence. Simply put, he had everything. He really had everything. He was powerful. I believe that God knew from the very beginning that Satan would rebel. And that when he rebelled, he would refuse to repent. Lucifer did not know that the consequences of his pride would be eternal. I don't think he knew that. He became enamored with his own beauty, his own talent, his own influence, his authority, his power, his privileges. And he forgot, just like so many people forget, that everything that he had was a gift from God. And he became discontent with his position. And he began to long for more. But not just more, he wanted it his way. Instead of leading worship, he desired to be worshiped. Things began to shift. His pride ignited into his will, the desire to exalt himself above God. Isaiah 14 says it this way, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And no sooner had Satan pondered his elevation than he began his descent. That bright, beautiful, ethereal light that was in heaven, that angel that was there, the Bible says, fell like an intense, bright lightning as he fell from heaven. It was public. It was violent. It was tragic. He drew 1/3 of the other angels with him, and they lost it all, and he lost it all. It was a tragic, horrendous moment in the heavens. God, at that moment, from time's beginning, God has always had a plan of redemption for mankind. He's always had that. And he hid that plan from Satan. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, talking about Satan and those fallen angels. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So here's why God kept it hidden from Satan. Because if Satan would have known that crucifying Jesus would cause us to have a right to be saved, he would have never done it. There would have been no sacrifice for sin, and we could not have been saved. So God hid that from him. God hid that revelation. It was in the word, but he hid it. It's in the word, Jesus. It was hidden in here. They never let it out. So Satan, to this day, still wants to hide and keep you away from the word of God. Because the word of God contains promises for your life, your ministry, and your family. The word of God contains strategies to help you overcome every adversity. Amen? There's so much that we can learn from this fallen archangel. Here is this wonderful, talented, incredible being, full of charisma, full of spiritual gifts, but lacking character. That's an important. How many of you know it's important to have character along with your gifts? You'd be the prince of preachers, but if you've got other problems, it can destroy everything. And so we also learned that there's a correct order in order to be blessed in the kingdom of God. You have to stay in spiritual alignment with God's plans and purposes. And when you get outside of those alignments, a fall is on its way. So there's an alignment. Satan wants you to fall because he fell. He wants you to have the same experience he had. But God, in his wisdom, hid some things from Satan and has hid some things from the princes of this world and has placed limitations on them before they even fell. God deliberately left three stones. Satan had 9 gemstones, but the ephod had 12. And so God deliberately hid 3 stones from Satan. He did not place them into the ephod. And when God showed me this revelation, I shook under the power of it. So I'm going to try my best to share with you what God's been showing me the last few days. We're going to talk about these 9 gemstones, the 12 gemstones of the ephod. We're going to talk about 4 wombs and 5 specific places and how God moves and how you can see the purpose and plans for your lives. So let's compare for a moment, if we can, Lucifer and the high priest. Just like God gave Lucifer access to privileged places, God opened the way for the high priest to have privileged access to places nobody else could go. For example, the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go into the Holy of Holies and live. You couldn't live in the presence of God. But once a year, God allowed and privileged the high priest to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and to offer sacrifices for the people's sins, animal sacrifices for the people's sins. Now, the same way that Lucifer was adorned and was given royal and regal garments to wear, the high priest had specific and special garments that he had to wear in order to gain access. So both Lucifer and the high priest had access to God's presence. Both were covered with special gemstones. Okay, they were covered in a special way. But like I just said, Lucifer only had 9. The high priest had 12. Now, each stone had a name. Each stone had a meaning. Each stone had a specific place it was supposed to be in the ephod. It had a specific order. The stones in Lucifer, we'll discover next on Wednesday night, had a specific order. And we're going to look at the different orders that God uses when you come to worship and when we come to ministry and all these things. We're going to look at a lot of deep stuff here, so hopefully you can hang with me. Okay, so the 12 stones in the ephod that the high priest was to wear were going to represent the 12 sons of Jacob. They represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Those 12 tribes were birthed All 12 of those sons were Jacob's sons, but they were birthed out of four different wombs. Four different wombs. Rachel, Leah, and their handmaidens. They were birthed in a specific order and at specific places. And the Bible's very clear about it, but yet hidden. I've never heard anybody teach on it. I've never heard anything said about it, but there it is. So let's look at it a little bit. Exodus 28, 17. Hopefully I've got enough information you can follow me. Exodus 28, 17. And you shall set in it, stone, this is talking about the ephod, the high priest ephod, stones. There's supposed to be four even rows of stones, and the third row will be a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. Now, I want to stop and just say, by the way, when we were studying this out, Pastor Brad helped me study this out a little bit. It's the silliest thing. King James, the NIV, the New King James, every translation you go to has different stones. And so when we went back into the Hebrew to look it up, I don't even think they knew what they were. No, I'm for reals. When you look it up, there's a lot of question as to which stones these were that God put in there. But we know there was 12 of them, and we know the order. And more specifically, we know the names of the 12 sons that were on those stones. So if you look up here, let's look here. This is the birth order, or you can look on your paper, whichever's easier for you. I want you to notice in the Hebrew, it always starts on this side. It'd be your right, my left. Hebrew was... Reuben was the number one son. He represents vision. Sardis and Ruby, as you can see. Simeon represents hearing. Levi represents covenant. Judah, as we all know, represents praise. Dan represents judgment. Naphtali represents wrestling. Gad represents victory. Asher represents blessing. Issachar represents inheritance. Then Zebulun dwelling. Joseph increase, and Benjamin dominion. So you start with vision and you end with dominion. Okay, we'll go somewhere with that a little later. The stones that Satan did not have are on the third row. He did not have jacinth, an agate, or an amethyst. He did not have victory, blessing, or inheritance. God withheld those from him. You'll catch on in a minute. Gad means, the name Gad means, a troop is coming. It means victory is coming. The men of Gad were valiant. The Bible says they could hold a sword and they were skilled in warfare. And that if you ever attacked the tribe of Gad, you had positioned yourself to be defeated. Listen to 1 Chronicles 12. I'll read some from verse 1 and then verse 8. They were among, this is speaking of Gad, they were among the mighty men, helpers of war. The Gadites were men of might and men of war, fit for battle. They could handle the shield and the buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions. They were swift as roes upon the mountains. It goes on to say in verse 14 that even the weakest of the Gadites could defeat 100 men, but the strongest of the Gadites would defeat easily 1,000 men. One man could defeat 1,000 men. So in other words, here's what God is saying. Here's a revelation of what God is saying in the ephod. He's saying that I will not allow Satan to wear victory. That belongs to my people. Somebody say amen. God said, I've hidden that from Satan. He'll never have victory. He cannot have victory because I've given that victory to my children, to you. Victory's reserved for you. Somebody shout amen. It's for kingdom sons and daughters. It's only to be placed inside of you. So if you need victory in your body, in your health, in your relationships, in your finance, wherever you need it, just put it on because God has suited it for you. Amen. The next stone that Satan could not wear was assigned to Asher. Asher means blessing. Do we have? Yes, we still see it. Asher means blessing. Asher, when they were divided the lands, was given the land that possessed the greatest and richest soil of all of Israel. And because of that, the tribe of Asher had an abundance of olive oil that they were able to grow, and it led them to have great wealth and great influence. In fact, in times of need or in times of famine, when everybody else needed oil, the tribes needed oil, Asher was easily able to supply all the oil that anybody else would need. How many of you know oil in the Bible represents the anointing of God? And so in Genesis 3, God cursed the serpent, and Satan was never allowed to wear the anointing. He was never allowed to wear the blessing of God. God's anointing and God's blessing is reserved for you. He said, I'm never going to allow Satan to wear the blessing and the anointing of God. The third thing was assigned to Issachar. Issachar means reward or inheritance. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. So this tribe had wisdom. This tribe had a supernatural discernment of the times and the seasons of God. They knew how, they knew when, where, and what Israel should do to be able to possess the land, to possess their inheritance. Isn't it amazing that God kept that from Satan? Satan does not know how, when, where, or what we're going to do next. Amen. He doesn't know how we're going to possess the land. He just knows that we're possessing it and we're drawing the oil right out of it. Amen. God keeps Satan in the dark. Amen. Satan's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he tries to convince you that you do not have victory, that you do not have blessing, that you do not have inheritance. But I've come to tell you, you do. It only belongs to you. God said those stones will never be placed in Satan. He'll never have the ability to possess the victory, to possess the full blessing and anointing of God, nor to possess the reward and the inheritances of God. Those things belong to my people only. Amen, somebody. Now let's look at this again. Let's look at the birth order again. Stick it back up there if you would. There it is. Okay, look at that again. Okay, examine the order. I want you to see it. There they all are, the 12. Now, that's called the birth order. That's the way they were born. Reuben was the first kid, Simeon the second, Levi the third, and so forth. That's the way they were born. When you were born determines your birth order. I'm the firstborn son, the best looking, except for Charger. Amen. All of those things. That when you were born. Now listen to me carefully. Where you was born determines your citizenship. So now listen to me for a moment, okay? There's four ways that a person can become a citizen. First of all, it's called the right of soil. The right of soil. And by the way, all of this is in your app. If you want to go later on, look it all up. All these notes are there for you in our Harvest app. The right of soil. It means that I was born in that country. If you're born in the Philippines, born in America, you are a citizen of that country because you were born on that soil. Second way is the right of blood. I become an American even if I was born in Africa if my parents are American. So the right of blood, wherever my parents are citizens, then I can also become a citizen of that country. Third way you can become a citizen is by marriage. If you marry somebody from another country and you move to that country, you can apply and you can become a citizen of that country by marriage. The fourth way is by naturalization, which is where you go through a legal process to obtain a citizenship in a country other than your own. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. There's four ways we become citizens in the kingdom of God. First, we're born into the kingdom of God. Second, we're born into the family of God. Third, we're married to Christ. And fourth, we're adopted legally into the body of the kingdom of God. Okay, amen. So what I'm trying to say to you, because of when we was born is our birth order, where we was born, we have every right today as born again Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, as people who preach the kingdom, we have every right to kingdom citizenship. We have every right to God's blessings. We have every right to God's victory. We have every right to God's anointing. We have every right to his rewards and his inheritance. Satan does not have those rights, will never possess those rights, and is mad because you have them and he can't have them. So he wants you to fall like he fell. So let me go back again. I'm going to keep walking you into this. When you was born is the birth order, okay? Then you have a way of becoming a citizen. And then why you was born determines your destiny order. Your destiny order. Now, there's similarities between the birth order and the destiny order, but there's also differences. So just because you were born last, okay, in the birth order, does not mean that you're last in the destiny order. Let me give you an example. David. Here comes Samuel to Jesse's house. He's going to anoint the next king of Israel, and he does exactly what you're supposed to do. He starts with the firstborn son. He starts with the first one, and he goes down through all seven sons, and God keeps telling him, nope, 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 nope. And finally, he looks to Jesse, he says, do you got any more sons? Yeah, I got one more. He's out in the field tending to the sheep. They call David in. David was the eighth son in the birth order, but in the destiny order, he was number one. Are you following? Okay, so Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son in the birth order, but in the destiny order, he was the first son. So the stone that represented Joseph was onyx, okay? God used that stone. Here's where I'm going with this. Joseph was, how many of you know Joseph was a man of God? He was powerful. God took the onyx stone and he placed it on the shoulders of the high priest. And on those stones, they literally hung the ephod. They hung the government of God upon the shoulders. Whew. I'm not going to go there. That's Isaiah 9:6. It's upon his shoulders rest the governments. Oh, amen. It is so, this is so rich, I can't even hardly give it all to you. So imagine these two stones are on the shoulders, and that's what you're going to hang this ephod on. Here, let me read it to you. Exodus 28:9. And you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them, now watch this, engrave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of the names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. So now I want you to look at this next chart up here. And if you look, this is to my right shoulder. That's why it says right over there. So if you're looking at the high priest, this is what you'd see. That'd be the right side. That'd be the left side, okay? On the right shoulder, he was to put, in birth order, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, and Naphtali. That's the way they were born. Vision, hearing, covenant, praise, judgment, wrestling. Then you go to the other side. Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and so forth, as you can see there, okay? So that's on the left shoulder. So the stones on the right, here's what I want you to see. The vision, the hearing, the covenant, the praise, the judgment, the wrestling. You have to master those stones if you want to enter into the victory, the blessing, the inheritance, the dwelling, the increase, and the dominion. If you don't master your vision, if you don't master your ability to hear God when he speaks, if you don't master the understanding of you're part of a covenant, this is not a contract to come to church, it's a covenant. We're here in covenant. Amen. When you master that understanding, when you learn to praise, we're going to talk about, is not just singing songs, it's warfare. It's warfare. When you learn to war in the kingdom, then you can bring judgment to the demons and you can wrestle out anything that gets in your way. When you learn those things, you'll enter into victory, blessing, inheritance, dwelling, increase, and dominion. Can somebody say amen? Are you okay? God wants you to have a balance in your life. And the reason God wants this balance in your life is so that you can have a secure inheritance. Joseph, his name means increase. It means God will increase. So these are the two stones that God hung his government upon. He said, I will increase you. What is he going to increase? Your vision, your hearing, your covenant, your inheritance, your dwelling, your increase, your dominion. He says, I'm going to increase everything that I've placed into you. I will increase that for you. And I'm going to hang that on the shoulders. And I'm going to hang them on the shoulders of Joseph. Joseph was a man, if you study his life, that stayed focused in spite of all the opposition that came to his life. Sold by his brothers. You guys know the story. Sold into prison, all that stuff. Even when his family did not understand his purpose, he kept his covenant with God. He never wavered. He never moved. He kept his covenant with God. And even when he was in prison, he kept his praise on. It wasn't just a singing a song. He wasn't down there singing Kumbaya. He was singing warfare. He was singing power. He was singing dominion. He was singing victory. He was singing blessing. He was singing inheritance. He was pressing into those things. He was singing wrestling. He was singing judgment. Amen. So he was pressing in. He was pushing. And he was moving that direction. These shoulder stones held that entire inheritance in secure place. And the enemy cannot take what God has secured. Somebody shout hallelujah today. Amen. Are you with me so far? Everybody with me? Okay, I'm trying to process you and walk you through. I'm promising you on Wednesday night we're going to get to the warfare order and we're going to get to the ministry order. How God literally rearranges the stones. And I'll show you that. And we'll look at the third row again. Shocking. I want to say to you, everything we're talking about here is God's government. It's the way God governed, okay? God is a God of government. Religion is full of politics. Religious people love politics. They love to vote. God never does it. Nowhere. God appoints. Because we're part of a kingdom, not a democracy. And God sets it in order. He didn't ask them, hey, do you want to be number one? You don't like diamond? Okay, you can be an emerald. God didn't do that. God sets it in order. God moves it a certain way. And so much, now listen to me carefully. I'm going to wrap this up because I want to give you time to just think it through. So much of what we're living in right now in America is political. It's so political. Our whole world is political. I mean, you go to work and you got to play politics to move up the ladder. You got to play politics with your boss. People are playing politics in their marriages. It's political everywhere you go. And what we've done is we've somehow bled this together to where we've lost the value and the understanding of God's government. Politics and government are separate. They are not synonyms, okay? God is not about politics. God is all about government. And everything we're looking at here is the government of God hanging on the shoulders of God's government. Okay, that's what we're looking at. He is not, we did not vote God in. Oh, we like that God. We don't like that God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the great judge. He is the judge. He is the lawgiver. He is the government. He doesn't ask for your opinion, nor my opinion. He is sovereign and all-powerful and almighty. Are you following what I'm saying? He is a king. Okay? So here's what I'm saying. We need to be involved in government and governing. Because he is, right? Government is one of the ways that God accesses the earth. That's how he accesses the earth. God works through authority that he has delegated to us. That's how he accesses the earth. Let me give you an example. God doesn't come down and come into my house with me and Gail, slap me around to deal with the issues of my home. God delegated the authority to me and my wife how to run our home. God doesn't care if we eat wheat bread or sourdough. It's up to me if I want a fat belly or a skinny one. It's up to me if I want to eat healthy or not. He delegated that authority to me. Now, if I honor that authority, then I will be blessed. If I dishonor that authority, I could enter into a curse. But God delegated the authority to the man to be the leader of his house. God doesn't come down every day and slap things around. He's already given that authority to us. God, amen. I'll preach on this in a few weeks from now. All authority, Romans says, is given by God. There's no authority in the earth, not even Hitler or Stalin, ISIS. All authorities God gave. I'll explain to you why later on. But okay, so if I obey and enter into kingdom, if I understand kingdom and the governments of God, all that we're talking about, if I understand Satan can't have victory, only I can have victory. If I can understand the government of God, he can't have blessing. I have blessing. I have rights to inheritance because I'm a kingdom citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And because I'm a citizen of the kingdom, I have a king and a lawgiver and a great God that has a host, an army of angels to fight on my behalf. I have that right because of who I am. So if I choose to honor him and the authority that he's placed in me to delegate it, he told me, you do this, you do this. If I do, if I praise, if I worship, if I keep those things in order in my life, then I honor the authority given to me and I'm blessed. If I decide, no, I'm not doing it, bless God, I don't feel like praising today, then I could enter into something different than a blessing. Okay? I violate that. So really, delegated authority is our choice. Okay? So God works through order. He works in order. He wants to secure. He wants it secure. He doesn't want one ephod slipping. He doesn't want it sideways. He wants it secure. He wants it safe. He wants it in blessing. And he wants to establish that in all the earth. Are you following what I'm saying today? That's the way God works. That's the way God moves. Now, in our country, God has established the way that it would work. It's on God, I guess, at this point. He's established, this is not a, we're not in a kingdom here. We're a democracy here. The church is ecclesiastical. The world is corporate. How you operate in the world is different than how you operate in the church. Okay, it's different. So in the corporate out there, in the world out there, we have the right to vote. Huh? And when if we vote to put people in office that will choose to honor God's authority, then God's authority will bless our nation. If we choose to put people in office who could care less about God's authority, even ignore God's authority, or work against God's authority, then we choose to enter into a curse. Now, I don't care if you're a Democrat, black or white, Republican, independent. I really don't care. It's time for you to drop all that nonsense. You're not part of that world. You're part of the kingdom. You are a kingdom citizen. Which country you want to be in, a kingdom citizen or a corporate citizen? Which one you want? You want to hang to your Democrat, hang to your Republican? Where do you want to be? You better be a kingdom citizen if you want God's blessing. So when I vote, when you vote, I'm telling you vote according to God's authority. I don't care what you've been taught, what your mama taught you, or how you feel about it. Vote according to God's authority. If you want blessing in your land, blessing in your family, you want victory, you want blessing, you want inheritance, vote kingdom. Are you listening to me? Do you think God would abort children? Vote so. Vote that way. I don't care what the if the guy up at the top says he's going to promote abortions, you better not vote for that brother or sister. Amen. Because the moment you do, you violate God's government. And now you've got a government against a government. Guess who's going to win? I'm just trying to tell you, you can say what you want. I'm not preaching politics here. I'm preaching government. Okay, so I want to tell you, just take a look. Any nation in the world that have put in evil and wicked leaders have suffered throughout their histories. Just go look at it. Just look at history. Just look at it. God always wins. Satan cannot have victory. Amen. So we govern in our land. This is the way God designed it for us. It's different in other lands, but in this country, we govern by voting, and we can vote to put in people that will honor God's authority. Right? If you was in a dictatorship, you wouldn't get these. It would be a different way of going about business. But here in our country, that's the way we go about business. That's the way God has ordained it in this country. Because God sets all powers and authorities in place. So now we have a choice. As a people, do we want to live in a kingdom kingdom order, or do we want to live in a democracy order? Right? Are you learning? Okay, so all of this that we're looking at, God says, I've reserved these three things for you, but you've got to step into them. You're going to have to come through vision, hearing, wrestling, praise. If you want to get to the vision, the blessing, the inheritance, you come this way. God lays it out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He doesn't care how you feel. He doesn't care what you, if you've raised a Republican or not. God doesn't care. Amen. He does not care what your mama voted. Well, we've always been this way. Well, it's time for you to get saved. Either you're a kingdom citizen or you're not. You want to walk it. Pastor, I just can't make it. I'm just broke all the time. Because you're not walking in inheritance. Somewhere you violated the government. Somewhere you're against the government of God. God is a king. God is a ruler. God is a lawgiver. Amen. I challenge you to go in the Bible. Anytime they voted, what happened? It was a mess. They voted for Saul, and God wanted them to have David. So, yeah, they drew lots, and you never hear of those people again because God never breathed on it. Judas was gone. The boys got together, drew lots, picked out another guy, and we never hear of him again. Because God says, that ain't part of my government. I didn't set him, you did. Amen. God appoints. Well, I'm having fun even if you're not. Let me help you. So we get in this country a chance now to vote and set towards God's government. Let me give you one more and then I'll be done. We can also govern through our intercession, through our prayer. I know that you might not think it's important to be at prayer or to come to pray and join together in prayer, but the Bible says that the church is his ecclesia. Okay, it is his governing body of ambassadors and legislators in the earth. You are ambassadors of God. All of you are ambassadors. You are his governing body. You are his legislatures in the earth, all of you. This is the way God, you might not feel like it, but that's the way God looks at you. And so when you stand before him one of these days, the great judge, you'll be judged according to were you a good ambassador or not. Doesn't matter if you ever felt like it or not. Has nothing to do with your feelings. It has to do with how God views you. This got way heavy. I wasn't going to go here. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me pull back a little bit. We are conduits of God's authority on the earth. We are conduits. So when we pray, we can decree his authority into the atmosphere. We can change demonic things. We can tell the devil, you cannot have victory in this election. You cannot steal our inheritance. You cannot mess with our money. You cannot take things away. We can change things. Are you listening to me? I know everybody's crashing in their money right now, but I prayed. And God told me, you take that money and you move it from that fund to that fund. You do this and do that. And last month, I almost doubled my money. Everybody else is dying, but I've got authority. Listen to me. I've been doing it for 40 years. If you're just starting today, it might take you a while. Amen. But you can walk in authority. You can walk in kingdom legislature. You can pray. And your prayers, because you are the legislators of God, you are the ambassadors of God, you can shift things. And we're going to talk about that next on Wednesday night, how you shift things in warfare, in praise. And when we get to the warfare order, always number one is Judah. He shifts it around. It won't be that no more. It'll be Judah next time, not Reuben. Amen. Are you guys still with me? Did I get too deep on a Sunday morning? Okay, this is my 8:30 crowd. You like it anyway. Isn't this amazing that God put all of this in place? He withheld three stones from Lucifer knowing he was going to fall. God knew it when he created him. Because our God is omnipresent, all-powerful, and all-knowing. And he knew. He said, I'm going to hold these stones back because I'm not going to give him victory or inheritance. I'm going to give that to my people. Amen. And God has placed those into your life. And he's hung them on the shoulders of great focus and power. The Bible is so rich, isn't it? It is so alive. There's so much in there, so much revelation that's hidden. And I mean, I'm not saying I'm anything special. I actually heard a thing from Perry Stone, or read a little quote from Perry Stone, and he made a comment about those stones. And I didn't even know there was stones in Lucifer. I just thought he was a walking instrument. So I went to look, and we're going to look at him closer. We're going to actually define his stones and show you how he fell. But when I went to look, I was shocked. And then all of a sudden, the revelation started just walking out. I'm not brilliant. God just had it hidden the whole time. But he brought it out at this season. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why God brought this out to revelation right now. But I know I can feel it alive in me, so I'm sharing it with you. I don't know how it's going to work in our lives, but I can tell you right now, I want to tell you today, you are part of God's government. And God has a plan, an order, and a way that he does things. And you can try to do it your way, but your way will end up just like Lucifer. That's what he tried, his way. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. When you see revelation from the Word of God, just go that way. Okay, so we're going to look at these 12 sons. They were born out of four different wombs, and everybody in this room is going to have to go through those four wombs before you'll be a prince with God. Amen. We're going to find out the five different places that they had to go to have those births. We're going to learn. We're going to grow in God. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. I'm out of time. I think I'm out of time. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word that's so rich and so powerful and so dynamic. Father, I believe that every person in this room wants to be part of your government. We're not looking to be part of anything else, Lord. We want to serve you. We want you in our lives. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be a third row people. Help us to walk in that third row. You reserved it for us. Help us to enter it. Help us to wear it properly. Help us to govern it properly. And Father, this year as our nation is in such chaos and filled with politics, keep us from all that mess and help us to walk in your government. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you might notice that I'm not talking anymore about the COVID and all that stuff. Let me tell you why, just so you know, we'll be gone. Because I'm not going to advertise for CNN no more. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying that's not my business. That's God's. I'm kingdom. I'm going to stick with kingdom. I'm going to preach kingdom. I'm going to go kingdom. Okay? I'm not saying don't be wise. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. Please, if you're feeding me food, wash your hands. Amen. I'm not saying that. I'm saying from the pulpit here, we're not going to enhance that. We want to enhance the kingdom of God. Amen. CNN.